friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, May the 3rd. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And I thank you for being with me as we unpack the readings for this coming weekend, the 6th Sunday of Easter, which is amazing that we're already there. I mean, if you think about that, the next 4 weekends, next weekend we're going to celebrate the Feast of the Ascension. The weekend after that, we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. The weekend after that, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity. The weekend after that, we celebrate the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood. And then, gosh, we're into June, and we're back on ordinary time in the summer, and we'll be on ordinary time all the way until the end of the liturgical year in November to the Feast of Christ the King. So this Easter season, this 50 days of celebrating God's new life among us, we continue through it, but we can see toward the end of it already, which is amazing. Now, we take that celebration of the new life of God within us and within our world with us always, right? But that particularly seasonal feast, gosh, it's amazing that we're already almost through it. Hey, here's the deal. Normally, I'll read 2 readings from the coming weekend's readings to prepare us as we go to Mass, and we will have heard those. Gosh, what we're going to do today, the readings are too good. I couldn't limit. So we're reading all 3. I know that might mean this is longer. I'm going to try to keep it moving. But it means I want to dive in right now. And again, as always, the readings are carry the power. I'm going to try to spin out some goodness out of them. And I hope I can. But the power of these readings, the depth of these readings is so good. Just let them wash over you. Let the Word of God, rich as it is, dwell deeply within you and make its home. So however it is you prepare, invite you to do that right now, my friends. And let's break open God's Word together for this coming weekend, the 6th Sunday of Easter. A reading from Acts of the Apostles. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and, falling at his feet, paid him homage. Peter, however, raised him up, saying, "Get up. I myself am also a human being." Then Peter proceeded to speak and said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." While Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, my friends, if there was something within that word, a word, an image, an idea, a phrase, if it pointed you somewhere, allow God to speak to you through that movement, okay? That's one of the ways God speaks. Let it happen. And if that means turning it off and just sitting with it, please do. But for those who want some more wonderful readings, let's move on. Okay, so that was out of Acts chapter 10, by the way, and it jumped all around. I'm not even going to give you the different verses. This one is out of 1 John 4, 7 through 10. Again, a reading you're going to know. You're going to know all these. 1 John 4, 7 to 10. A reading from the letter of John. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Can you see why I read that one? Huh? Oh yeah, we're going to come back to that. Too much good. But I can never leave out the gospel. So the gospel is John 15, 9 to 17. Let's break it open. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what their master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything that I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, God may give you. This I command you, love one another." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, where do you start, right? Where do you start? You just let those readings wash over you. Every one of them. It's like, man, a home run. Boom. Let's start with the first reading. Let's go to Acts. And here's the deal. The one from Acts, you may be thinking, Joe, why are these all home runs? Certainly, you know. Second reading and the gospel, but this first one's kind of odd. You know, Cornelius, Peter, what are we doing here? I wish we could give you all of Acts chapter 10, because that's where it comes to this fulfillment, and it finds its beauty in what's being said here that we heard today. So let me give you some background for those who aren't familiar with the story of Cornelius and Peter. So what is happening is Peter, okay, even before Peter goes up on his rooftop, Cornelius is a centurion. He is a Gentile. He's a Roman, okay? And he is a centurion, but he obviously centurion in Jerusalem or thereabouts in Judea, and he has, out of his goodness, contributes to the charitable organizations or causes within Jerusalem, even attempts to keep prayer, but he is a Gentile, right? And he has a vision, meaning Cornelius, to ask his servants to go to this place, you know, the house of Simon the Tanner, and get Peter and call, you don't know Peter, and have Peter come to him. So he has this vision, and he sends his men out to go do it. Okay, so that's the first scene. Scene number two, we go to Peter. And Peter is on his rooftop at noon, and he's hungry. But it's prayer time, and so he settles down in prayer, and he goes into what's called a trance. He goes into a trance, and in this trance, this sheet, like a, you know, you'd cover your table with, comes down out of the kingdom, and on it are all kinds of animals, both clean and unclean. And he hears the voice of God say, "Slaughter, get up, slaughter, and eat." And Peter, of course, says, Of course not. I would never eat anything that is unclean. And this vision happens three times. Get up, slaughter, and eat. Ugh, of course not. The refusal. Peter and three, huh? Right? You know, do you love me? Yeah. Or the denial, whatever. Well, he's denying here again. And ultimately, after the third time where Peter says, of course not, I'm never going to eat anything unclean, the voice of God says, what I have made clean, you are not to call profane. Brothers and sisters, let that sink in. What I have made clean, I think it even says made clean, not called clean. What I have made clean, you are not to call profane. And at that moment, Peter comes out of his trance and the knock happens on the door. Downstairs, the men have come to take him to Cornelius. So Peter goes with them, goes to Cornelius. And then this is what happens, what we pick up here, right? The meaning, of course, is obvious then, right? That the Gentiles were the ones that Peter and the Jews and all the people had called profane for years. And what God is saying is, hey, what I have made clean, you are not to call profane. And ultimately, Peter is jarred out of this way of being. I mean, Peter's whole life was enmeshed in that idea that they're in, out, good, bad, us, them. Brothers and sisters, I mean, this is unbelievable what's happening here. I mean, this is before Paul is going out and ministering to Gentiles along the Mediterranean. This is happening to Peter. Now, Peter gets it, and he's going to fall away from it again, and it'll take Paul to kick him in the butt later. You know, and so it's a two steps forward, one step back, maybe one step forward, two steps. It's not linear. It's not even. But it's happening. Our God is inviting them out of the boundaries that they have set up, that their religion has set up, that their faith has set up, to realize, I am bigger. I am bigger. Now, we may be saying, oh, that's wonderful. Isn't that great? You know, that God did that, and isn't it so great that now we've got this bigger God and our boundaries are bigger, and therefore we can set up these boundaries and we're good. No, because to be human is always, for whatever reason, to have these darn boundaries in place, us's and them's, ins and outs. It is. And our God invites us into that same trance and says, brothers and sisters, whatever it is that God, and whoever it is that God has made clean, we are not called to call profane. And yeah, it may not happen to us as easily as understanding this, as, you know, get a knock at the door and we're called to go over and the Holy Spirit falls on these people and they're all baptized, the whole family, by the end of the day. I mean, it doesn't happen that easily in our life. But we are called to be jarred out of those same boundaries, those same legalities that good things give to us, our families, our communities, our churches, right? Our cultures. All kinds of them give us these boundaries. And it's the air we breathe because we grew up in them. But our God reminds us, but I'm bigger than your culture, and I'm bigger than your family, and I'm bigger than your church. I'm bigger than whatever community is that helped you set up these boundaries. And what I have already made clean, even if you can't see it, don't for a moment call it profane. Brothers and sisters, that alone is worth stopping. I could have read one reading today, and that is worth it. That is so good, isn't it? All right, but why did I read more? Because this is we see the practicality of what Jesus and John are saying in the other readings. All right, and there's two points I'll make. I think one from each. You know, it could be far more, but the second reading, Beloved, let us love one another because love is of God, okay? Love only comes from God. There's only one place that real love comes from. We strive for all these other glitzy things and all these things that make us feel good and all these great feelings, whatever it is, but only one. Love only comes from God, right? Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows love. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God's very essence is love. Okay? Love is not something God does. Love is who God is. Love is who God is. But this is, and I'm reading the whole dang thing to you again, but this is so good. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us, okay? So if we're called to love, which really, that's exactly what that's telling us, right? Let us love one another. We're going to get commanded in the next reading. But let us love one another. So this is what love looked like, according to the author of 1 John, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. And in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent Jesus into the world that we may be saved. Okay? I'm going to read that again. In this is what love looks like, okay? All this stuff. All the, it's words up until now. Okay, we're called to love. We know that. But what does it look like? Not that we have loved God. We did not choose God. We're going to hear in the gospel later. God chose us. Not that we have loved God, but that God loved us first. I'm going to read Alice Camille's words to you as I was preparing for this. Again, they're so brilliant. This is out of Alice. I give her credit. Her book, God's Word is Alive. But here's what it says. These are her words. Here is the best answer to give someone who wonders why we should not shun categories of persons, okay? So she's pointing to the first reading here as well. Here's the best answer, meaning 1 John, why for anyone... This is the answer that we should give them, why we should not shun categories of persons. The decision to love is not ours. It is God's. We are not loved because we are acceptable to God. God loves us, and that makes us acceptable. I'm going to read that again. The decision to love is not ours. It is God's. We are not loved because we are acceptable to God. God loves us, and that makes us acceptable. There are two points in there, right? The same point of you know, what I have made clean, what I have loved, you are not to call profane. You are not to purposely not love them. The decision to love is God's, not ours. And if God loves someone or something, can we call it profane, brothers and sisters? So that's the first point Alice is making, and boom, she hits it out of the park. And the second point is that we are not loved because we are acceptable, meaning, okay, I do everything right, and then God loves me. We are not loved because we are acceptable to God. Okay, I'm finally got everything in order, so now I'm acceptable to God so God can love me. No, God loves us first. And that makes us acceptable, just that we are God's beloved. Let that wash over you. You don't have to work for God's love. God loves you right now. But Joe, you don't know what I did. I don't have to know. I know God loves you right now. So maybe you can love yourself. Maybe you can see yourself as deserving of love. Okay? Because you are. And now let's go to the gospel. And again, we're not going to go through the whole darn thing, you know, because I've already done that. And this is Jesus' Last Supper discourse, which again is like five chapters. Amazing. But as the Father loves me, so also I love you. Remain in my love. Remain in my love. I'm commanding you to love. That's the last word, right? I'm not going to go over the whole thing again. It way too good. But this is his last command. Ultimately, some would say in John's gospel, the only command. I command you. Love one another. All right? So often we look at love as feeling in our way. Oh, I love you because I feel so good around you, you know? And the you know, the birds sing and you know, I see rainbows or what. No, that's just feelings, brothers and sisters. Feelings are fickle. We cannot be commanded to feel anything. That's just dumb. I command you feel happy today. I command you feel angry. We can't be commanded to feel at all. It means love is beyond a feeling. Love is a decision, right? It's just what we heard. And this is how God loved us, right? That God's very being is love, and that God loves us before we are lovable. That's what 1 John told us. So we are commanded to remain in that same type of love. But here's the last thing I want to say to you. And it's almost a throwaway thing in the middle of Jesus's discourse here. I no longer call you slaves. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what their master is doing. I have called you friends because I've told you everything I've heard from my Father. Jesus takes this whole idea of us and them, in and out, you know, parent-child, and says, no, I'm not going to do master-servant. I'm not going to do parent-child. I'm going to say friends. Why? Because friends walk together. Because friends are equal. They are not, it's not a power relationship anymore. It is a relationship of unity. Brothers and sisters, these readings are unbelievably good. And there's so much more I could talk about, but I'm not going to. I mean, the very essence of what we hear from Peter and Cornelius, that thread goes through the second reading, and it goes all the way to the gospel. We are called to be women and men of love, real love, okay? And that means if God can choose to love, how do we choose to love, okay? And how do we no longer make relationships of control or in or out or take boundaries that we have lived within all our lives and smash them to realize our God is bigger and beyond those. Wow. Wow. Brothers and sisters, that is worth meditating on the rest of this moment, the rest of this day, the rest of this coming week. So with that, let us take it to prayer. And so we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first glorious mystery. Jesus rises. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Thanks for breaking open God's Word with me. Thanks for being with me on this journey through this season of Easter. May your days, your week ahead, be filled with every good blessing. Be well, and God's peace.